Good morning. You are listening to Raven Radio. Today is Wednesday, July 24th, 2013. I'm Holly Keene, and this is Raven News. A crowded pool of applicants for Sitka's municipal administrator job was thinned out on Tuesday night to just 10 people. The Sitka Assembly selected its finalists for the top job in City Hall during a special meeting at 5 o'clock yesterday. KCAW's Ed Ronco has more.
Fair warning, this story is basically a list, but it's an important list because it's very likely that one of these 10 people, or maybe two of them, we'll explain that in a minute, will run Sitka on a day-to-day basis. They'll earn about $125,000 public dollars a year. They'll be the public face of the city. They'll oversee more than 150 employees, plus a budget of more than $24 million, plus the largest public works project in city history. Now, more than 53 people wanted that job, but when the assembly sat down on Tuesday night, each member gave their five favorite candidates, and this is the list they came up with. Now, it's a long list, so I've asked Rebecca LaGuire to help me read them. Hi, Rebecca.
Hey, Ed.
Okay, so I'll start. Rob Allen and Robin Sherman. Allen is a former Sitka Assembly member who runs an investment company that owns and leases vessels. He's part of the Allen family that started Allen Marine. Sherman is his wife. She runs a pair of public agencies that provide affordable housing to rural residents in western Massachusetts. Both of them hold a Master of Public Administration degree from Harvard's Kennedy School of Government, and they've applied for the job as a team. All right, who's next?
Well, we have Robin Bennett. She was town manager of Southwest Harbor, Maine, from 2007 until 2011. The town has a population of about 2,000 that swells to 6,000 in the summertime. She's also been the manager of four other communities in Maine and Vermont. She has an MPA and a Bachelor's of Political Science degree.
All right, next is Steve Bradshaw. He has been the superintendent of the Sitka School District since 2002 and an educational administrator since 1976. He's held jobs in Alaska and Montana, and his bachelor's and master's degrees are both in education.
Then we have Pamela Caskey, former city manager of Alliance, Nebraska, population 8,900. She left that post in 2010 after 5 years. Since then, she's run a consulting business in Loveland, Colorado. Caskey has also been a city executive in Pennsylvania and Vermont.
Okay. Mark Gorman, he was vice president of community health at Search in Sitka from 1989 until 2009. He moved to Sitka in 1978, and he still maintains a Sitka address, but since 2010, he's been the country director for World Education in Laos. The organization provides microfinance and teaches children in the Southeast Asian nation how to avoid unexploded ordnance. Okay, five down, four to go. Carry on, Rebecca.
All right, next we have Cynthia Gubatayo. Right now, she's assistant borough manager in Ketchikan, a post she's held since 2008. She holds a master's of business administration degree from the University of Phoenix and a bachelor's in accounting from the same school. She goes by Cinna for short.
Alan Lanning is currently the city manager for Central City, Colorado. Nearly 700 people live in this old mining town, which now hosts more than a million visitors a year at its casinos and other tourist attractions. He has a master's of public administration from the University of South Dakota and a bachelor's in political science from South Dakota State. He's also been a manager in Steamboat Springs and Mintum. Both of those are in Colorado, as well as Brookings, South Dakota.
Next, we have Jim Pascal. After nearly 30 years as administrator of Princeton Township, New Jersey, Pascal says in his cover letter that he wants a new challenge. Princeton Township had 16,000 residents. That's past tense, because on January 1st of this year, it merged with the nearby Princeton Borough. Pascal has an MPA and a bachelor's from Rutgers. And finally,
Arthur Shora. He was manager of Ogdensburg. That's a city of 11,000 people along the Canadian border in upstate New York. Since leaving that post in 2012, he's run the Clements Agricultural Research Institute. It's a nonprofit organic farm site in nearby Lisbon. He holds an MPA from the State University of New York in Albany, which is also where he got his bachelor's degree. And that is the list. And thank you for your help, Rebecca.
No problem.
Okay, so there it is. The nine applications that have made the first cut to be the next municipal administrator in Sitka. From here, the city staff will vet the candidates and check their references. And then there'll be some phone interviews followed by in-person interviews. The assembly hopes to offer the job by the end of August, early September, and have the person on the job October 1st. With help from Rebecca LaGuire, I'm Ed Ronco, reporting in Sitka.
The city of Sitka wants to know who vandalized the statue of Alexander Baranov in front of Centennial Hall and is willing to pay to find out. Sitka Police Lieutenant Barry Allen says the city is offering a $500 reward for information that leads to an arrest. He says someone took a bladed instrument and made 7 cuts into the top of Baranov's head. The vandal also struck the statue on the bridge of the nose. This isn't the first time someone has vandalized the bronze statue. Before it was originally unveiled, someone tried to saw off the statue's nose. At the time, the artist was able to repair the damage. Allen says the damage happened sometime in the last month, but city officials were only alerted on Monday. Alexander Baranov is the namesake of the island that contains Sitka. He was the first manager of the Russian-American company in the early 1800s and occupies a controversial place in history. Anyone with information on the vandalism can call Sitka Police at 747-3245. You can see pictures of the damages on our website, kcaw.org. Over 1,000 hatchery king salmon died at Blind River Rapids sometime last week and are a total loss. The Chinook were returning to the Crystal Lake Hatchery on southern Mitkoff Island, south of Petersburg. Joe Vicknicki reports.
Alaska Department of Fish and Game sport fish biologist Doug Fleming estimates 1,100 kings died, most likely on Wednesday, July 17th. Fleming says he discovered the die-off after last week's warm, summery weather.
So earlier in the week, I started monitoring the water temperatures and seeing that it was getting to the dangerous levels. And getting through till Wednesday, which was appeared to be the hottest day, and then on Thursday, I was conducting an aerial survey just to get a grip on how many fish may have been killed by the warm water, not expecting to see a large die-off, but some, and was shocked to see the numbers of fish that we lost at that time. So that was on Thursday afternoon after the weather broke.
Fleming recorded water temperatures at Blind River Rapids in the 80s that week. He suspects that some combination of hot water, low oxygen levels in the water, and a large number of fish trapped in the fresh water of Blind Slough led to conditions the kings could not survive. The tides may also have played a role. Fleming says the die-off happened during smaller tides when the cooler ocean water may not have reached far enough upstream.
The tides were building. We were just getting a small amount of tide exchange. And it appears if the fish had made it through Wednesday night, they probably would have survived. We had a change in the weather, cooling off, and the tides are growing. They're very large now. I've heard reports that these carcasses are starting to wash out into the Wrangell Narrows, but there's a lot of tide now. So the remaining fish, our hopes are the remaining fish will use the high tides to get up towards the hatchery.
Fish and Game was forecasting 1,800 adult kings would return this year to Crystal Lake. That 1,100 dead includes adults as well as 1- and 2-year-old Chinook. However, Fleming says it's a sizable portion of the expected return that died. An unknown number of kings survived the hot water and can still be seen finning around the deeper pools of the rapids and the slough. Biologists won't know until later this summer how many kings avoided the hot water and still will make it back to the hatchery. Those kings normally start showing up back at the hatchery in early to mid-August. Crystal Lake has not met its goals for broodstock, those fish needed to produce future generations, for the past 4 years. The hatchery has been forced to rely on broodstock eggs from other operations in Southeast, and that could be the case again this year. The eggs cannot be salvaged from the dead Chinook, while the birds, bugs, and bears are making quick work of the carcasses. The Chinook die-off is not unheard of, and this year's is not even the largest recorded at Blind Slough. In 1989, about 1,400 fish were found dead there. The past 3.5 decades have seen 6 years, including this one, with fish die-offs topping 500 king salmon. Fleming says the poor water conditions have also occurred in other salmon streams.
There's other cases where it's happened with other species, whether it's pink salmon or others, than in some of the large numbers of fish that pile into a creek and then water conditions change. And then fish can, basically suffocate and have large die-offs. But Blind Slough just does, the way it is, it's so shallow and wide in the middle portion of the slough. There's not a lot of shaded, deep, narrow channels to keep the water temperatures cool. Anyway, it's a difficult place to get fish through.
Fleming and others from Fish and Game on Friday recovered some of the heads to have them checked for coated wire tags. Those tags will tell biologists the age of the fish that made it back to the slough and help with predicting future run strength. A few chum salmon and hatchery cohos normally also start showing up at the rapids at this time of year. The slough has been closed to sport fishing for June and July because of the weak king run and to allow enough Chinook to return for broodstock. Fishing will reopen there August 1st. In Petersburg, I'm Joe Vicnicki.
Juneau police and the Coast Guard are investigating the death of a guardsman. The body of 43-year-old Paul D'Angelo was found Saturday when a coworker stopped to check on him. Officials couldn't determine the cause of death because of the advanced state of decomposition. The body has been sent to Anchorage for an autopsy. Authorities say D'Angelo hasn't been to work for about 2 weeks because of an illness. Lieutenant David Campbell says they are aware of medical issues and medication was found at the home. There were no indications of suicide. The Coast Guard's investigative service, its federal law enforcement arm, is investigating. The service conducts the Coast Guard's internal and external criminal investigations. State legislators seeking to balance public safety and reducing prison costs plan to meet this week to discuss potential changes in sentencing. The House and Senate Judiciary Committees are scheduled to meet Thursday in Wasilla to discuss Senate Bill 64. The bill, among other things, would establish a commission that would make recommendations on improving sentencing in criminal cases. The board would be asked to consider such things as alternatives to traditional forms of incarceration, adequacy and effectiveness of treatment and rehabilitation programs and crime and incarceration rates. A news release from the committee chairs says the idea behind the bill is to save money by reducing the low-risk prison population by investing in community programs that are less expensive than building new prisons. And that's all for Raven News, KCAW Sitka.